The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Radio Reading Service presents Tech Tips, a monthly 30-minute show covering a wide range of assistive technologies, including portable and mobile devices, computers, and computer software designed for the blind and print-impaired community. We've got lots to cover this month, including several new announcements from Amazon, new products from Apple, including their Smart Invert for iOS 11, and finally, a review of the new HIMS BrailleSense Polaris. That's what's coming up this month on Tech Tips. In an ongoing effort to make you more dependent on Google and Android, Google Assistant now launches specific tasks in Android apps. This article is written by John Fingus of Engadget.com. Believe it or not, Google still isn't done with its slew of assistant upgrades this week. The AI helper can now use actions to perform specific intents within other Android apps for those times when voice alone won't cut it. If you need to see the parking pass you just booked, for instance, you can tap a button to go directly to that pass in the relevant Android app. The feature is rolling out over the next few weeks, and it's accompanied by a few other assistant improvements that should make life a little easier. For one, Assistant can ask for your location in mid-conversation. If you want to get a lift to a place near your home, Google can supply the position on demand. Third-party apps can also cut out the introductory fluff if it's not your first time using them through Assistant. And Actions now work in 7 new languages, including Hindi, Indonesian, Thai, Dutch, Danish, Norwegian, and Swedish. These may seem like modest updates, but they could be vital. Google is determined to bring Assistant to as many Android phones as it can. 95% of all compatible phones by the end of 2018. And that means accommodating as many countries as possible. And if you're going to trust Assistant, it needs to fulfill as many expectations as possible, even if that means passing the baton to another app. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Apple's new HomePod is now on sale, and this article comes to us courtesy of the folks at Cool Blind Tech. Apple's HomePod is now available. It costs $349, and HomePod is an Amazon Echo competitor that users talk to by saying, "Hey Siri." The HomePod was revealed last summer with a promised launch before the end of 2017, but Apple delayed the product in December, saying that we need more time before it's ready for our customers. HomePod is a direct competitor to the Amazon Echo and speakers with Google's Assistant installed. It comes with the Siri installed, and users interact with Apple's smart speaker by talking to it. Apple hopes to set HomePod apart from its competitors by emphasizing sound quality. The speaker has 7 different speaker tweeters and 6 microphones. HomePod does a lot of behind-the-scenes calculations to improve its sound quality. It has an iPhone chip running acoustic modeling, audio beam formatting, and echo cancellation, according to Apple. However, compared to Amazon's Echo, the number of things that users can control with Siri through HomePod may be limited. Voice music controls are reserved for Apple Music and not Spotify. For example, users can interact with the speaker by saying, "Hey Siri," then giving a command. Setting up the speaker is easy. Simply place your iPhone near the speaker and it will pair the two devices. Early testers of Apple's upcoming HomePod have shared screenshots of customizable settings for the speaker, which will be configured through the iOS Home app. Users will be able to disable features such as Hey Siri and the lighted display on top of the unit. Another option lets users disable the display light when using Siri. Toggling that will allow the screen to stay dark when Siri is invoked for those who might not want the illumination from the unit. Apple has also included various accessibility options for HomePod, including the VoiceOver service that already exists on other platforms like iOS and Mac. Within the Home app, users will be able to configure the speed of audible voice prompts given via VoiceOver. The Home app also has various sounds as part of its interface, and these can be enabled or disabled from within the Home app. Other options include the ability to adjust how much pressure must be placed on the buttons, how long they must be pressed to be invoked, and to ignore multiple button presses. Here's how Apple describes the Siri features on HomePod. Using just your voice, it's easy and fun to use, and works together with an Apple Music subscription for a breakthrough music experience, providing access to one of the world's largest cloud music libraries. Siri, now actively used on over 500 million devices, has developed a deep knowledge of music and understands your preferences and tastes. And with Siri, HomePod can send a message, set a timer, play a podcast, check the news, sports, traffic, and weather, and even control a wide range of HomeKit smart home accessories. As a footnote, I did do a little bit of research. It is not available on Amazon that I could find. However, I did go to the Best Buy website, and yes, it is $349.99. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. We have another article from the folks at Cool Blind Tech, and this one is entitled, How to Turn on Dark Mode in iOS 11. If you are low vision or just want to extend your battery, there's now an option in iOS 11 to enable Smart Invert, which reverses the colors of the iPhone's display, just like the classic invert did for all these years. But this special new inverted mode won't reverse everything. Specifically, it won't reverse images, media, and some apps that already use dark color styles. To access this new inverted mode, head to Settings, then General, then Accessibility, then Display Accommodations. You'll then toggle on Smart Invert from the menu. That's it. The differences between Smart and Classic Invert are small. For instance, the Maps app looks exactly the same with both, while the home screen with the Smart Invert enabled looks the same as without any inverted look on. In the Photos app, you can see that the UI turns black in both cases, but Smart Invert does not mess with the images or videos at all, which makes it way more useful for those of us who are low vision. If you really like this new Smart Invert option, you're likely to be turning it on and off quite a bit. If that's the case, you'll want to set up an accessibility shortcut. You can do this using either the triple-click home button shortcut or by adding the accessibility shortcuts icon to the control center. Whether you're doing the triple-click shortcut or the control center shortcut, you'll need to go to Settings, then General, then Accessibility, then Accessibility Shortcuts, then just select Smart Invert Colors. Now, whenever you triple-click the Home button, you'll get a menu to toggle on Smart Invert. To use the Control Center shortcut, go to Settings, Control Center, then add the Accessibility Shortcuts control to the Include list. Then, just long press the 3D touch on the icon in the control center to bring up the menu where you can toggle Smart Invert on and off. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Guess what? Audiobooks are coming to Google Play Store, and your first book is going to be 50% off. Google Play Store is now advertising its audiobook library in select countries and promises consumers a 50% discount on their first related purchase. The Alphabet-owned company has been working on implementing audiobooks into the service since at least the fall, with the first hints at the new offerings being discovered in early November, following a teardown of the previous builds of the app. The Mountain View, California-based tech giant has yet to comment on the inclusion of the audiobooks to the Play Store portfolio in any capacity, and it remains to be seen how the move will affect the audiobook selection that's presently being hosted by Google Play Music. While Google's music streaming service is technically part of the Play Store, the company could still continue serving audiobooks through both platforms or discontinue its first attempt of selling them. It's currently unclear what library size users can expect from the Play Store's new audiobook library, but its portfolio is likely to be at least somewhat larger than what's currently on offer through Google Play Music. The banner advertising the promotional 50% discount has so far been cited in the United States, United Kingdom, and Australia, according to user reports, with multiple owners of Android devices claiming they've seen it both in the Google Play Store app and the desktop browser version of the digital marketplace. You're listening to Tech Tips on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. It's time now to talk about a new device from HIMSS. It's called the BrailleSense Polaris, and it's ready for the road. Whether you are a person with excellent vision or someone who is totally blind, chances are good that the devices you use in your everyday life are becoming increasingly intelligent, from the phone you keep in your pocket to the tablet in your briefcase. All of our smart devices keep getting new features that make them increasingly difficult to live without. The same is true for dedicated note takers used by blind people all over the planet. Gone are the days when a note-taker device developed for the blind could only run specialized software designed only for that particular device. Today, the blind community expects to be able to use the technology that is on par with that of their sighted counterparts. Companies that have long catered to the needs of the blind community are hearing the call and are meeting the challenge of today's technology requirements. One company that has long been a trusted leader in the blind community is HIMSS Incorporated. For years, the company's BrailleSense note takers have been seen in offices, schools, and coffee shops all over the world. Whether you live in South Korea, home base for HIMSS, or the United States, you might be reading this article on a BrailleSense product right now. In June of 2017, with the release of BrailleSense Polaris, HIMSS joined a list of companies, including HumanWare, who now offer Braille note takers that are Google certified and run a fairly new version of the Android operating system. Google certification means that not only does the note taker contain a suite of software assigned by HIMSS specifically for the blind, but the device also contains many stock apps from Google, including Google Docs, Chrome, Hangouts, and YouTube, just to name a few examples. And more can be downloaded from the internet. I recently had the privilege of evaluating the new BrailleSense Polaris for Access World magazine. What follows are my impressions of the newest offering from HIMSS Incorporated. The BrailleSense Polaris, named for Google Polaris Office Suite, is a 32-cell note-taker with a Perkins-style keyboard. When I unboxed my evaluation unit, I found a dedicated AC adapter, meaning that it is possible to plug the unit into AC power without needing to mess with a micro USB cable and charger. My unit came with an extra battery, which I never needed to use, though I found the process of removing and replacing the battery to be quite easy. The case that came with the unit was lightweight and textured so that I never felt as though I might drop the Polaris. The strap that came with the case was easy to attach and felt quite comfortable on my shoulder. The front flap of the case is held closed magnetically, so there is no need to fiddle with the snaps or Velcro. I did not use the earbuds that were included with the unit, but I suspect they are what one would expect. Not high quality by any means, but sufficient to get the task done. One really nice touch, in my opinion, was the inclusion of a Braille quick reference guide that listed all of the keystroke commands for the Polaris. I found myself using this reference quite a bit. I did not notice some odd formatting issues in the ways keystrokes such as F1 were written. Sometimes the letter F was at the end of the line of text and the number 1 was at the beginning of the next line. Something I would have changed if I were preparing the document for brailling. The BrailleSense Polaris runs on the Android Lollipop 5.1.1 operating system. It contains 64 gigs of internal storage with 3 gigs of RAM. It sports a 2.1 gigahertz Samsung Express 7420 processor and a detachable battery that, according to Hims, runs for about 18 hours when fully charged with the internal speaker set at mid-volume. Since I tend to keep my device plugged in any time I am near an outlet, I never ran the battery down during a day's use. The unit's visual display allows a sighted person to read what is on the Polaris's display, and an HDMI port allows for the unit to be connected to an external monitor. The unit allows for, among other things, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth connectivity. The Polaris's sensors include GPS, an accelerometer, compass, and a gyroscope. Finally, a 13-megapixel camera allows for tasks such as scanning documents with an application such as the KNFB reader. It's important that any device, whether a new laptop or a dedicated note taker for the blind, feels as good under the hand. I personally like the feel of the Polaris Perkins-style keyboard. The keys were springy under my fingers, and the keyboard was about as quiet as any keyboard of this type can be. To the left and right of the spacebar are, respectively, Control and Alt keys that can be used in Android apps as needed. Spread further left and right of these keys are 4 function keys. Finally, on each end of the unit are 2 capsule-shaped scroll keys that can be used to perform specific actions, such as panning by screen display, line, paragraph, and so forth. I left these keys set to their default mode of panning by screen display. These keys can also be used to move through menus, lists, etc. The 32 Braille cells found on the Polaris were clean and crisp under my fingers, and the device's cursor routing buttons were what I would expect. Between the Braille cells and the cursor routing buttons is a thin touch strip that can be used for flicking and tapping gestures in certain apps. The Polaris's LCD display, discussed earlier, takes up the top center of the unit. The sound quality of the Polaris stereo speakers is quite adequate, and the internal stereo microphones make good recordings as well. Although I have never used a BrailleSense U2, I am told that many of the Polaris's commands will be familiar to users of that product. On the right side of the Polaris is a USB 3.0 rapid data and micro USB combination port. It is possible to charge the BrailleSense Polaris using the USB port as well as via its dedicated AC adapter. Behind this port is the Polaris's SDHC card slot. Be aware that when inserting an SD card, the rigid portion of the card should point up rather than pointing down, as is often the case with other devices. On the left side of the Polaris, starting at the front or nearest the user, there are 2 buttons for raising and lowering the volume of the device. I found that the case of the Polaris made depressing these buttons quite difficult. Hims says they are working on a design of a case that will address this problem. Behind the volume buttons are a stereo headphone jack and stereo microphone jack. The stereo headphone jack is to be expected, but I found the inclusion of a stereo microphone / line in jack to be a nice addition. I did not test the microphone jack, but the headphone jack worked as expected. Finally, furthest back on the left-hand side of the Polaris is a USB host port for connecting USB drives, keyboards, and the like. On the back right side of the Polaris is the AC adapter mentioned earlier. On the back left side is the HDMI port for sending visual output from the Polaris to a monitor. Also on the left portion of the Polaris is a Kensington lock port that allows the user to physically lock the unit to a desk. I did not test either the HDMI port or the lock port. Some of my favorite features of the BrailleSense Polaris can be found on the front panel of the unit. On the far left is a three-position slide switch that is used to either lock all the keys on the top of the panel or to lock all the keys and buttons anywhere on the unit. The third position of the slider unlocks everything. Anyone who has ever carried a note taker around in a briefcase knows how easy it is to accidentally press buttons. In my opinion, HIMS deserves a lot of credit for adding the ability to lock everything down on their note takers rather than requiring the user to power down the device when traveling so as not to accidentally issue commands. To the right of the lock switch is another three-way position switch used to change the function of the remaining controls on the front panel of the unit. Depending on the position of the switch, these controls can operate the Polaris's media player, operate its daisy reader, or be used to navigate around and perform actions on various apps. Further to the right of the front of the panel of the unit are the buttons mentioned in the previous paragraph. Assuming you are in media mode, the buttons control recording, navigation, and playback of audio. The stop button has a very discernible dot on it. Furthest to the right on the front of the Polaris is the power button. When the unit first starts up, you'll hear the familiar musical chime found on all HIMS note takers. This sound can be disabled if desired. A quick press of the power button locks and unlocks the screen of the Polaris. I found this process to be very responsive. As a musician who keeps set list in Braille as I play, I would have no trouble unlocking the screen in a reasonable amount of time if it locked during a performance. The unit's small size, coming in at just under 10 inches by just under 6 inches and being just under half an inch high and weighing just over 1.5 pounds, would make it quite easy to place on a small stand or table near my keyboard. The BrailleSense Polaris user guide is available from the main menu screen, or it can be downloaded from the internet. This allowed me to put the user guide on my Braille Edge and read from that device while I was setting up the Polaris. Although the user guide is adequate, it does not teach someone to use the Polaris in the same way that a tutorial such as those produced by Mystic Access do. HIMS has provided some YouTube videos on various aspects of using the Polaris, but both the presenter and the Polaris sound muffled and faint on the videos. This could be a real challenge for anyone who has significant hearing loss. The Polaris word processor allows one to read TXT, BRF, RTF, PDF, EPUB, and Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint files. You can save documents in a variety of formats, including DOCX, RTF, BRF, and more. It is also possible to insert Braille math equations into a document that can be viewed as regular math equations by a sighted person. I was less impressed with the Polaris's email program. Although I was able to synchronize it with my Gmail account using IMAP, I found the time it took for the Polaris to show my list of messages after I had deleted a message to be quite slow. I was not able to delete a message I was reading without backing out of the message itself first. A daily email I received from my favorite political analyst did not read well. This was the case even when I opened the message in the Polaris internet browser. On a brighter note, my favorite part of using the BrailleSense Polaris was its media player. I enjoyed using the FM radio. One must use the cord from their earbuds as an antenna, and I was able to pick up all the radio stations in my area. I enjoyed making presets of my favorite stations, labeling them with the actual station name rather than just the frequency. I was able to make playlists of my favorite songs that were stored on an SD card, and the media player operated in the background so I could listen to music while performing other tasks on the unit. The buttons on the front of the Polaris made moving around in media files a breeze. Supported file formats include AC3, ACF, ASX, M3U, MP2, MP3, and MP4 files, MPA, MPG, OGG, PLS, WAVE, WAX, WMA, FLAC, MIDI, and WMV. It is also possible to play DAISY content from sources such as Bookshare on Polaris. From the Extras menu, there is an online DAISY option that allows for downloading of content from CNB and Vision Australia. The organizer includes tools such as a contacts manager and an appointment calendar. I was able to synchronize both the account manager and calendar with my Google account, but I found it less intuitive to quickly browse upcoming appointments than I would have liked. I found the Polaris' internet browser to be adequate. While this might not sound like a ringing endorsement, I am not a fan of mobile browsing on my devices, although I do more than my fair share of it. That said, I could easily see myself regularly using the Polaris on the web with speech turned on, although I generally use Braille note takers with Braille only. The use of speech at a fairly fast clip would negate any slow response time for me, and there are plenty of options on the Polaris for moving by heading, link, next block of text, and the like. There are a host of other tools on the Polaris, including calculator, compass, and a stopwatch. One really clever feature of the Polaris that might be easily overlooked is the ability to say, "Hey Polaris," from anywhere in the room and have the unit play a tone so you can locate it. I use this feature for real at least once during my evaluation of the product. For this article, I mostly tested apps that were specifically designed for the Polaris. Depending on the accessibility of any third-party app either included on the Polaris or downloaded from the internet, your mileage will vary regardless of what note taker you use. That said, I did try out Google Docs with only mild success. When typing in a document, I often found myself thrown into a menu rather than the document I should have been in. Reading documents was more pleasurable. That said, I would prefer to use the Polaris' included word processor anyway. YouTube was much more enjoyable on the Polaris, and I listened to the HIMSS videos on using the Polaris from the unit itself. Here's the bottom line. In my time evaluating the BrailleSense Polaris, I found the product to be enjoyable to use. If I had previously been a BrailleSense product user, it would have taken me less time to get up and running with the unit than it did. An interactive tutorial would help greatly in this regard. I found the Samantha DTS voice included on the unit to be quite easy to understand and very responsive with no stuttering at all. Although there were a few things I wasn't crazy about, such as slow performance using email and a really long firmware upgrade time with not much feedback for part of that experience, I recognize that the product is still quite early in its development cycle. I love the size and the portability of the unit. The media player is a pleasure to use, and the specialized suite of software programs included on the unit will meet the needs of student and office professionals alike. I especially appreciate the fact that I could use the unified English Braille everywhere on the unit, but I could choose another Braille code if I desired. I personally used computer Braille in the calculator, although I could have chosen Nemeth Braille or UEB Math instead. Those who are fans of the HIMSS product and those who are looking for a specialized note taker running a mainstream operating system and who are able to use accessible mainstream apps should definitely consider taking a look at the BrailleSense Polaris. If you would like to know more about the BrailleSense Polaris, you can visit the manufacturer HIMSS Incorporated. You can also give them a call at 1-888-520-4467. You can also email them. Their email address is hims@hims-inc.com. And you will be in for a little bit of a sticker shock. The BrailleSense Polaris is $5,795. We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website at www.trianglereadingservice.org. Tech Tips is produced by Chris Skidmore in cooperation with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. If you have any questions, you can email me. My email address is chris@trrsnc.org, or you can give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips.